Picking up our study of evolutionary concepts, our text from the Bible is Genesis 1:24, which says that God created all the animals. And then as you go on down, it says that he also created man, verse 26, 27, 28. So we're not studying a Bible text, but we're analyzing where we are in modern day of thinking concerning evolution and creation. One of the things that has come up, and this series of articles that I'll be giving you, are arguments. Are explaining that arguments for evolution are outdated. Some of them are outdated and often illogical. This more along the line of illogical today. Convergent evolution. You don't need to understand that. We'll explain it in the article here. Convergent evolution or intelligent design. And you're well aware of intelligent design. You understand that. You look at a window, like our stained glass window there, and so on. You begin to see, you know, while each little piece maybe look like it could be random, you know, and colors, different colors and so on. But overall, there was an intelligent design put together for the whole thing. Now, let's look at convergent evolution. See what that is. When the same complex capability is found in unrelated organisms, but not in their alleged evolutionary ancestors, evolutionists say that a common need caused identical complexities to evolve. They call this convergent evolution. So, here's a specific example. For example, wings and flight occur not only in birds, insects, and mammals like bats, also the pterosaurs, an extinct reptile, also had wings and could fly. Now, these capabilities have not been found in any of their alleged common ancestors. They could not fly, they did not have wings. Other examples of supposedly convergent evolution are the three tiny bones in the ears of mammals. The stapes, you see on the right of the picture, the incus, there in the middle, and the malleus, the hammer. And so that's inside our ears and in other mammals. All right. their complex arrangement, because they are working together to accomplish the whole thing of hearing, their precise fit give mammals the unique ability to hear a wide range of sounds. Now, evolutionists say that those bones evolved from bones in a reptile's jaw. If so, the process must have occurred at least twice, but left no known transitional fossils. We have nothing that shows halfway there, or a quarter of the way, or three-fourths of the way. Here's some quotes to show you that our author knows what he's talking about. The definitive mammalian middle ear evolved independently in living monotremes and therians. That's marsupials, like the kangaroo, and placentals. So this is Thomas Rich in Independent Origins of the Middle Ear Bones. On the other hand, Sid Perkins in his really cool book, Groovy Bones, said, because of the complexity of the bone arrangement, some scientists have argued that the innovation arose just once in a common ancestor of the three mammalian groups. Now, but he says now in the present, analyses of a jawbone from a specimen of Tynalophus trusleri, a shrew-like creature that lived in Australia about 115 million years ago, have dealt a death blow to that notion. So what he's saying is, and he's certainly within the group of evolutionists here, the concept of evolution, but he says we've already shown the physical evidence has disproved the theories of the other evolutionists, that you can't go back that far and have it just the same as it is to us today and have us believe that this was evolving. So the question then is asked, how did the transitional organisms between reptiles and mammals here during those millions of years? You have a slow, very, very slow process of transition where the reptiles' form of hearing wouldn't work and the mammals' form wouldn't work because it hadn't been accomplished yet. So this whole concept of evolution is that each little step makes them better. Here's a step that makes them worse for a few million years, and then suddenly they get better a little bit later. How can this be called evolution? Also, for mammals to hear requires the organ of Corti and complex wiring in the brain. No known reptile, the supposed ancestor of mammals, living or fossil, has anything resembling this amazing organ. Without the ability to hear, survival and reptile to mammal evolution would cease, concluding that a miracle, or any extremely unlikely event, happened once requires strong evidence or faith. Claiming that a similar miracle happened repeatedly requires either incredible blind faith or a cause common to each event, such as a common designer. Furthermore, it is illogical to maintain that similarities between different forms of life always imply a common ancestor. So I was saying, he said some of these things are outdated. This is the one that's just illogical. He says, such similarities may imply a common designer and show efficient design. Here's a quote from Nielsen. By this, we have also proved that a morphological similarity between organisms, morphological is a form or a shape, that kind of similarity between organisms cannot be used as proof of a phylogenetic evolutionary relationship. It is unscientific to maintain that the morphology may be used to prove relationships in evolution of the higher categories of units. This is unscientific, he says, and therefore illogical that it's maintained. Jonathan Wells, Survival of the Fakest, said, but biologists have known for 100 years that homologous, similar structures, are not often produced by similar developmental pathways. They have known for 30 years that they are often not produced by similar genes either. So there is no empirically demonstrated mechanism to establish that homologies are due to common ancestry rather than common design. In fact, where similar structures are known to be controlled by different genes, any references to authors, or are developed from different parts of embryos, a common designer is a much more likely explanation than evolution. Notice this. Therefore, homologous structures need not be controlled by identical genes, and homology of phenotypes does not imply similarity of genotypes. it is now clear that the pride with which it was assumed that the inheritance of homologous structures from a common ancestor explained homology was misplaced. It was misplaced pride. For such inheritance cannot be ascribed to identity of genes. But if it is true that through the genetic code, genes code for enzymes that synthesize proteins, which are responsible, in a manner still unknown in embryology, for the differentiation of the various parts in their normal manner, what mechanism can it be that results in the production of homologous organs, the same patterns, in spite of their not being controlled by the same genes? I asked this question in 1938, and it has not been answered. And our author adds, nor has it been answered today. A former professor of embryology at the University of London, director of the British Museum, et cetera, et cetera. And finally, we have an example of another similarity, and that is the alimentary canal. you understand that as what takes the food in and takes it on through. Structures as obviously homologous as the alimentary canal in all vertebrates can be formed from the roof of the embryonic gut cavity. That's the way it is in sharks. It can be formed from the floor of that cavity, lampreys and newts. I love saying newt. I think we ought to call goofy people newts. I just think that'd be a good idea. It can come from both the roof and the floor, as it is in frogs, or from the lower layer of the embryonic disc, the blastoderm that floats on top of heavily yolked eggs, as it is with reptiles and birds. It does not seem to matter where in the egg or the embryo the living substance out of which homologous organs are formed comes from. Therefore, correspondence between homologous structures cannot be pressed back to similarity of position of the cells of the embryo or the parts of the egg out of which these structures are ultimately differentiated. All right, our focus then is to see that actual science, as opposed to theories of science, actual science has shown that things like the bones in the middle ear, wings in flight, and the alimentary canal as specific examples. You cannot trace that the animals that have the wings and have these other things have similar genes. That is not true. They get the same effect, but it comes from different genes. Now, this last paragraph shows that in many cases, what the alimentary canal is made of, what it's formed from, are vastly different. So you end up with the same ability, the same effect, but it just comes from all over. So it's not a mechanistic thing, you see. It's not mechanical that it automatically happens like this. Rather, it's the designer looking back and saying, well, I think I need to have an alimentary canal, so I'll do it this way with him, this way with that, you know. And it's the intelligent design rather than unthinking, unfeeling, mechanistic evolution. Comments or questions?